Welcome to Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Thank you for joining us here on the program. It's 2026. And as opposed to what I thought was going to happen with this program, I had finished a program as of the end of last year. But it was to close out the show after more than 8 years and over 400 interviews on this program and on grassroots marketing. And throughout the holidays, wanted to go and take some time because if you realize on this program, we never took any weeks off. I continuously kept putting out programs, and I was always very concerned about making sure there was always a program that was going to drop into your feed so you can listen to this program on a regular basis each and every week. During COVID, I remember recording up to 3 episodes a week because there was such an outcry of different interviews we were doing in the first place. We had so many responses for interviews because when people wanted to continue to market and talk about what was going on in the space, especially with COVID going on and that cannabis was still an essential product that could be a product and service that could still be out there. People were still very much interested and engaged in the cannabis industry because it was still ongoing. And since then, we've gone through so many different things throughout the years. But the one thing was that I had been talking to some companies and some of the folks that helped me in the booking process of bringing guests on the Blunt Business program and on Grassroots Marketing, the companion show. But one of the things was is that it does take quite a bit of time and effort and expense to go and put the show together. So it was also just a number of factors that caused me to take a break on the program. A well-deserved break, I think I would say, because I think we've put out a lot of good content here, and I think the commentary we've had on here, all the wonderful guests we've had on here on a regular basis, some that have been on multiple times, some that have been new to the program, have been wonderful. And then we closed out last year with the decision from President Donald Trump of the rescheduling of cannabis by executive order. So now we're just waiting for that process. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But now the program will continue. And throughout the last month that I was off the air, what I worked on was the demand that I got, which I didn't expect. But I had a lot of people get back to me and tell me they wanted this show to continue, that it was very important for Blunt Business to continue because you know this program to be a home where we are very pretty much uncensored, unfiltered, pretty raw commentary here. You know, I don't come on this program to ask about backgrounds and kind of just ask questions that are just going to be very easily digestible and kind of just a little hobnob session. I want to make sure there are takeaways on this program, and that was what was very important to me. And also producing other programs on Cannabis Radio, that's the modus operandi that I have, that all of our programs operate under a certain protocol, that we're not wasting the listener's time. And that's why this show and the other show have done so well. So this show is going to continue now in a way and form that as I ramp things back up, we're doing a few things different. So the Grassroots Marketing series that you've been familiar with, the plan with that will be now that anything that was on Grassroots Marketing, when it comes to showcasing different subjects, shorter form interviews that would not be a long form interview like it would be on Blunt Business, you might remember that sometimes I used to play certain episodes of the Grassroots Marketing series. They were just good interviews I had on that series, and I decided I'm going to play them on Blunt Business. So I play them back for you. So it's not that far a stretch for me to go and say, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and start taking all those interviews, close out Grassroots Marketing, which is now going to stay closed out unless we have any conference coverage we're going to cover. That was the original intent of that program. That's what's going to stay. But anything now with interviews, the commentary, I'd like to make it where all that content is in one place. So when everybody kept coming back to me asking to be on Blunt Business, it's always Blunt Business. But I made sure that Grassroots Marketing, doing that show, we gave it a lot of value for those that listened in. And I appreciate all that. So now what we're going to do here is we're going to continue to do this program in a half-hour format, maybe longer, and we will bring back guest interviews. Tonight's program or this program today will be monologue. But just because of a lot of things just to catch up on from the past month, now that we're back from holidays and now that we're fully entrenched into the new year, 420 is not that far down the line. And the cannabis industry is waiting right now to see what happens with rescheduling. Let's just get ourselves all caught up on it. But before anything, the program is now going to continue. I'm going to probably be doing some programs where I will do a monologue and we'll just go through some of the articles of interest that are headlines we should go ahead and talk about. And I hope to go and bring back guest interviews that will feature experts that will be able to go and talk about the subjects of the day, as we've always done on this program. That is my intent, and that's been my promise to you ever since we started the show. I mean, you have to remember that when I took this show over, we had a sponsor on the program, and you know what? They were very happy with the show. But the one thing was is that the host of that show was no longer with the company, and then we found another host within that company, and then the CEO of that said sponsor, when we had so many interviews booked and ready to go, well, they asked me, can you go ahead and host this program for us? And I'm normally the producer. And I said, no, I can do this. And I've carried that banner for this whole time. And there was enough demand out there and enough reason that compelled me to come back and do this show. So for all of you that wanted me to go and come on back and continue this show, that you don't want to see the show go away, well, your wish has been granted, and I'm back once again. So it will take a little bit just to get the show back up into a weekly format, if that's where we're going to go with it. But at the moment, I'm going to try to get out 2 shows a month, and I'm working with some guests right now. So we'll get things back and ramp things up, hopefully. And for those that listen to this program and you have someone that you know or you yourself want to be featured on Blunt Business, drop me an email. Brasco@cannabisradio.com, BRASCO@cannabisradio.com. Anything you want to talk about when it comes to being a guest on the program, sponsorships, just feedback on the show that you'd like to go ahead and have me relay back or comment on, feel free to email me there. Everything goes right there, Brasco@cannabisradio.com, and I'll help you consider that. So when we come back, we're going to go through a couple different issues: cannabis rescheduling, where Congress is right now, and the hemp bill. Obviously, 2 major subjects we have to go ahead and address, and some major publications talking right now about cannabis and hemp. And it's interesting they're still bringing it up right now. So let's go ahead and bring that up coming up after a short break here on Blunt Business. Welcome back to it. You're on CannabisRadio.com. Welcome back to Blunt Business. Thank you for being back on with me once again. This is the first episode of 2026. Took some time off. Glad to be back on once again. A few stories to go and address.
If you're a small business owner, you already know what it takes to keep everything moving. You're juggling customers, invoices, and about 100 decisions every day. Thankfully, taxes don't have to be one more thing on that list. With Intuit TurboTax, you can get your business taxes done for you with a full service expert. TurboTax matches you with your dedicated tax expert who knows your industry, understands your business write-offs, and gives you the personalized advice your business deserves. Upload your documents right in the app, hand everything off, and still feel like you're in the loop the whole way through. You can even get real-time updates on your expert's progress right in the app, which makes it so much easier to stay on track. And you can get unlimited expert help at no extra cost, even on nights and weekends during tax season. Visit TurboTax.com to get matched with an expert today. Only available with TurboTax full service experts.
Real quick, first of all, there's been a lot of talk about what happens with the reclassification of cannabis. So that was one of the first things that was being talked about right off the bat, that there's still a restarting of a slow, uncertain rescheduling process. So we saw all the headlines at the start of the year, but when you look at the executive order, it is for increasing medical marijuana and cannabidiol research, not mentioning adult use whatsoever. So the classification serves as a roadblock to better research, but the order has read that decades of federal drug control policy and neglected cannabis's medical uses, and the oversight has limited the ability of scientists and manufacturers to complete the necessary research on safety and efficacy to inform doctors and patients. So closing the gap on this with this executive order. What happens here is that the Attorney General should take all necessary steps to complete the rulemaking process related to rescheduling cannabis to Schedule 3. So, you know, for everybody that wanted to look at what this was going to mean. So this is the rescheduling we all talked about. But through the Attorney General, they want to make it where it's going to move forward in accordance with federal law, including 21 U.S. Code 811. So a story I'm thinking here from The Independent, they're saying that the fact is that there's no time on when the rescheduling could happen. They're trying to say the speculations that cannabis could become a Schedule 3 substance and it could take up to 9 years for the process to complete. And at the moment, we have 47 states that allow medical use. 38 are providing comprehensive medical marijuana programs. 6 million patients are benefiting from those treatments. And 24 states now have cannabis for adult use, with more set to legalize it later this year. And of course, we've seen over the years a lot of right to try legislation. 2017 had 37 states enact right to try laws, FDA receiving more than 9,000 petitions from patients and physicians requesting access to experimental medications. And I was under the 2018 first term right to try federal law that President Trump signed. Advocates are still finding reason for optimism because reform is possible with enough pressure. And this executive order could be a sign that it's a long overdue rescheduling on the horizon, but nowhere sufficient itself. So we're waiting to see what goes on with that. But there's been a lot of talk within Congress about what's going to happen with this as well. So Cannabis Business Times has been on top of this quite a bit, not trying to block cannabis rescheduling. So House and Senate Appropriation Committees removed language from a funding bill that would have blocked the DOJ from reclassifying. So there was a three-bill funding package back on January 5th, and they tried to include language to block the Department of Justice from using funds to reschedule. But that provision was removed from the particular bill that was released, and that bill was the 2026 Fiscal Year Commerce, Justice, Science, and Regulated Agencies Appropriations Bill. So that's out of the way. So even with the executive order, some attempt to block for whatever reason, could it be for a drug lobby? We don't know, but there's a lot that went after that. So we know that there was the thought about Congress. That was one of the newest things that came out in the last month. And then there's also more about the fact that on the hemp ban, that there have been bipartisan lawmakers in the Senate and House introducing bills delaying the federal government's forthcoming ban on intoxicating hemp products for 2 years. So an extension of any kind of ban until November 2028. So there's that's been talked about as well. And it's called, one of them is the Hemp Planting Predictability Act, which is being focused on supporting American farmers. That was represented by James Baird, Republican representative from Indiana. And when Baird was asked about this, that Congress created a regulatory environment in the 2018 Farm Bill that allowed for certain investments, and farmers were operating within this environment. Congress should have given farmers more time, creating a more stable environment for farmers to modify their future planting decisions. I mean, this is something that we shouldn't have to have Congress worry about here with the FDA Farm Bill. The FDA should actually just come in and intervene, and we haven't got anything there yet either. So I don't know what will be said about that next, but we're waiting on that. We just want to know what's going to go on next. Now, this Baird hemp extension that's being proposed here would ensure businesses, farmers, and retailers can continue operating responsibly as policymakers work to establish a new effective framework for the hemp category, and that good regulation takes time, and providing a longer transition period creates space for clear standards and protect consumers and support long-term growth across the hemp industry. So maybe we're going to get some actual framework, some rules that, you know, hemp companies can actually abide by, which they haven't really had much to work with, and that allowed some other outliers, some nefarious actors to come in and take advantage of that, loophole in that hemp bill, which has been continued to also be extended along the line. So again, to go in 2 more years, just extend this out. So there's time for a framework. You know, I'm going to hold my breath if they're actually going to do it, but the extension is, I'm sure, a welcome relief for hemp farmers out there if they can have that. Now, the bill is co-sponsored by Democrats and Republicans. House Oversight and Accountability Chair James Comer of Kentucky, House Agricultural Committee Ranking Member Angie Craig, Democrat of Minnesota, and Representatives Gabe Evans and Tim Moore, Republicans of Colorado and North Carolina, respectively. So there's that story has also come in as well. And also the language in the fiscal year agricultural FDA appropriations bill were to become a law. It would deal a blow to American farmers supplying the regulated hemp industry and small businesses, jeopardizing tens of millions of dollars in economic activity around the country. So that's another thing we got also to come up. I know there's going to be some guests already that have reached out that want to talk about this. So we will talk about that very shortly. And I hope to get some guests on that can actually talk about all that, among other things. We're going to go another break. When we come on back, we're going to talk about some of the major publications out there that are actually talking about cannabis and hemp. And they're in a good, positive way. We'll talk about that after a short break. We're back with some final headlines here in Blunt Business. Let's start first with the New York Times. Celebration of High January being the new Dry January. And they talked about several different retailers are out here. And just to get to the gist of what they had here, that there were millions of Americans that were practicing Dry January, that where they gave up alcohol entirely, and others that were doing Damp January, which was cutting back on their alcohol consumption. And of course, we've heard about the Cali Sober movement, looking for ways to get buzzed without the booze and the next morning hangover. So normally January is a bleak month for liquor manufacturers and retailers. It's still amazing when I go into the retail stores now and seeing more THC-related products every day and getting great space on the store's shelves. It's really wonderful. So sales of mocktails, seltzers, and teas containing THC have surged since their introduction a few years ago, and increased consumer demand and legalization of these drinks are hitting major retailers like Target, Sprouts, and Circle K, and national liquor stores, putting the beverages on their shelves. And I've seen them in all those places. It's really a great thing to see. New York Times speaking with the senior director of merchandising for THC drinks at Total Wine and More, a national chain, saying that the THC beverages are two of our, and also as well as non-alcoholic drinks, are two of our highest growth categories. THC beverages sales were roughly $850 million, according to data firm Future Markets Insight, and projected to reach around $4 billion by 2028. So we don't want to see any slow growth or any kind of backtracking of the industry right now and how it's doing with all that's going on. And of course, we've had the continuation of states that are looking at their own rules in terms of how they want to go ahead and handle intoxicating hemp and how what level they can have. States have been adopting their own rules. 28 states, including Texas, Florida, Minnesota, allow THC-laced beverages to be sold by mainstream retailers. Others, including California and Arizona, limiting their sale to licensed dispensaries. Connecticut, a 12-ounce THC beverage sold at retailers is capped at 3 milligrams of THC. Tennessee has a 30-milligram limit. New York State liquor stores, bodegas are allowed to sell beverages with 1 milligram or less of THC. Few brands make them at that low level, and some higher THC drinks are available at licensed cannabis dispensaries. So there's a lot of that to hear, and it's very interesting. The growth of the beverage market that has been going on for years, that the CPG market has been looking at it, mainstream drinks are looking at it, and we're seeing real growth. And that's a wonderful thing to see out there, that to the point that we're now seeing a lot of people really enjoying to not have to go after alcohol. Stacey Gruber, who had been on our Hempire show and also been on Burning Issues with Dr. Mitch Earlywine and was kind of regular on that program going back, associate professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School, made a point that almost everybody knows how they respond to a standard drink like a gin and tonic, but don't necessarily know how they're going to respond to these cannabis drinks. So there's to talk about, you know, the amount of milligrams and how much you take. So everything is in moderation, of course. But she says some people can be incredibly ill from these products, but the interest is not coming from just early adopters like millennials and Gen Z, but from women, particularly older women, trying to amid concerns about alcohol and links to various diseases. So there's a lot to that story in New York Times. The other story that also came out was an opinion piece to the Washington Post. And that's what we're talking about just now here with it comes to doctors advising patients on cannabis and how they should depend on their age and medical situation. They spoke with Kevin Hill, addiction psychiatrist and associate professor at Harvard Medical, that patients often don't have insight into whether cannabis use is problematic. And more often, it's a spouse or employer putting them to seek treatment. When patients do start talking with a clinician, they may describe repeated attempts to cut back or quit, but anxiety spikes without the drug, or they can't sleep or develop strong cravings. So they're trying to say that there's some points about cannabis use disorder, that there's treatments that can be used. But again, for some people that, you know, might have other underlying medical conditions or effects that they have going on, that they're talking about here with cognitive behavioral therapy. So some people, if they're using cannabis and, you know, they might not have the right mindset, they might not be in a positive mindset and a great state of mind anyway, that you don't know about how people might handle any kind of vices. I mean, that goes for food, that goes for alcohol. You never know what that can be. But we want more research, which is more important than anything else. And one of the things that they were talking about here on this article was that for those that want to go and use cannabis in lockstep with other medications, that physicians want to recommend a harm reduction approach focusing on lowering risks. So avoiding cannabis in combination with alcohol or benzodiazepines, that can dangerously increase sedation, being mindful of interactions with other medications, and switching to lower potency products, since side effects and risks tend to rise with dose. Just as with alcohol, cannabis and driving should never mix. So they're saying here that we're not trying to tell people what they can't do, what they want to do, but we don't want to tell them to do things that are hurting other people. They also got some studies in here that talk about the fact that a third of clinicians said they feel confident talking with patients about medical cannabis. 86% wanted more training. And 1 in 4 Americans have used cannabis now. Essential that clinicians can have these conversations openly and knowledgeably. And they make a point here for one of the doctors that the more uncomfortable we are as a clinical field, the more patients might turn to other sources of information. Like, I don't want to have the news media go out there and continue to go and bash on cannabis. If we could have more training for doctors and have more doctors involved, like we've been trying to go for, have more nurses, more medical practitioners in place, getting trained, getting more research and learning more. That's where the research comes in. That's where the education comes in. That's where the training comes in. That's where the actual consultation and guidance comes in. So these are all important things that should be talked about here. So the medical marijuana debate will continue, but these are the things that will help to continue to have more states lock in on medical marijuana and more people that will be able to go ahead and try cannabis, so that if they want to go from the gateway of going from having the chance to go ahead and take it from a doctor's diagnosis, a doctor's prescription, or whatever kind of consultation, so they can also then realize, okay, then maybe I can take it more recreationally, more as an adult use, and go to a dispensary, and I can still enjoy it and know how it works for me and works with me, and also do it in moderation, as obvious. These are all good things. And these are some of the kind of things that we'll continue to talk about on this program. So I want to get back into doing this program now. We'll do it like this, where we'll have some episodes where we'll just kind of follow up on things and talk about some of the news headlines out there. But the plan is to try to get things started now, where you have this episode, and then we will soon enough get another episode or episodes and just start getting things ramped back up, get it into a bi-monthly format, and then work ourselves back to weekly again, just see how everything works out. But I'm happy to say that, you know, it was nice to get the time off, nice to get just a little bit of time to unplug and not be so burdened by the constant grind of doing this show. I needed a break, a couple of months to do that, because I had gotten so much content recorded and done for the end of last year that it was nice just to kind of finish up and take 6-7 weeks just to just wind down a little bit and reflect and just think so that I want to go and take care of and do, and just kind of a little restructuring on life and career. That's what I wanted to go and do. So I'm back once again. Blunt Business is back. And thank you for all for listening to the program. Again, if you want to reach out to me and you want to go ahead and any participation whatsoever, I would love to go and hear back from you. Again, Brasco at BRASCO at CannabisRe.com. Again, Brasco at CannabisRe.com. And that's it for Blunt Business. We'll talk to you next time.